Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church and our Good Friday service. I don't want to belabor the fact that times are difficult right now, but times are difficult right now. And today it seems to have hit me with a little bit more force. This is Good Friday, and in the past years we've had some incredible Good Friday services to the point where it really set the tone for the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we had big plans for this particular Good Friday, including the choir singing a beautiful and a haunting rendition of Were You There? And then we were going to have this message followed by the observation of the Lord's Supper. The fact that it is my last Good Friday service here at Emmanuel makes this profoundly more meaningful to me, and throw in the fact that today is my birthday. And there's just a lot of things going on that make this a little more difficult. And I do want to add in here at some point that normally what we do on Easter time, of course, is that we have a Good Friday service, and we have all of the activities that go on Easter morning, and then we do not have a Easter evening service. And likewise, this year we will not be having an Easter evening service. So Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning is what we'll be doing. We had a lot of different ideas thrown around about how to go ahead and observe the Lord's Supper. And one was, when at one time we were considering doing a drive-in service for Easter, because we're going to have the radio broadcast on CAN Radio, and we thought we could all drive in and sit in the parking lot and listen to the message, and then follow that up with a bring-your-own communion service. And we'd nixed the idea of a drive-in service, and I had some people suggest that they could just do the Lord's Supper in their homes. I'm certainly not saying that you can't, but it is my prayer that we can just wait until we're all together again, and then observe the Lord's Supper in the way that we normally do, in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of His church. So, until that day, I would like to share with you a passage in Mark that I skipped specifically so that it could be used on Good Friday. It's Mark chapter 14. It's verses 12 through 26. And as is our habit, I'm going to ask if you would please stand as we read from God's Word. Mark 14, starting in verse 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he'd never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time of year, this beautiful time of year when we think about the new birth and the resurrection and see it all around us, Lord, in your creation. But I thank you particularly, Lord, for just the sacrifice that you made for us. And I know, Lord, that how difficult, I can only imagine how difficult it must have been to know that one of your own would betray you. Lord, I thank you for this remembrance that you've given us, the Lord's Supper. And although, Lord, we won't be able to do that together for some time, I just pray, Lord, that you help us always to reflect upon and to remember, to truly do this in remembrance of you, to remember the sacrifice that you made for us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I just pray that you be with this church as we go through this time and give us strength, Lord, and wisdom. And I just pray, God, that you would hasten the day when we can gather together again. I pray all these things now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, first things first, the very first thing it talks about is the first day of unleavened bread when they killed the Passover lamb. And Passover had been celebrated by the Jews ever since the last of the 10 plagues came upon Egypt. And the last plague, you might remember, was that the firstborn would die, the firstborn of every family, the firstborn of all the livestock, the firstborn would die. And for the families, the firstborn would die unless the blood of the lamb was painted over the doorposts of the home. And then because of the hurry to get out of Egypt before Pharaoh changed his mind again, they ate unleavened bread. They didn't wait for it to rise. They ate unleavened bread and bitter herbs. So in remembrance of the time that the blood of the lamb was spilled the first time, they would observe this supper every year at Passover. And that's what Jesus and his disciples were preparing to do in the opening verses. But notice this. Jesus instructed his disciples to go into the city and to look for a man carrying a water pot, a pitcher of water. He said, follow him and then ask about his guest room. So in verse 16, so his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Well, I don't care how many times we hit on this, it still amazes me. Jesus knew that they would see a man. He knew that the man would be carrying a pitcher of water. Now, of course, in the days before running water, it wasn't unusual to find someone carrying a water pitcher. Not that big of a deal, really. But the disciples followed him. And today, following someone like that might get you shot. But they followed him and they saw what house he went into. And then they inquired of the master of that house about a guest room. And the man showed it to them. No questions asked. The room was already furnished and it was already prepared for the Passover. So the thing that amazes me about this is yet again, Jesus knows all things. He knew that these things would take place just as he had said. We keep hearing all kinds of projections about when the situation that we are currently in will end. And I want you to know, the doctors don't know, the news media does not know, the politicians don't know, I don't know, but Jesus knows. The day that this will end is already furnished and prepared. And when that day comes, it will be just as he has said to us. Once the 12 disciples and Jesus were in the room, which is often referred to as the upper room, he revealed to them that he would be betrayed by one of them. And we've covered a lot of that betrayal in other messages prior to this. But when he revealed that he would be betrayed, the universal reaction of the disciples was sorrow. We're told that they were sorrowful, and they said, is it I? Is it I? One of the things that we need to understand about this, even though Judas was already plotting to betray Jesus and was clearly on the path to do that very thing, the other 11 disciples weren't very sure about themselves. They said, is it I? It might be me. It very well could be me. We had a message a few weeks ago entitled, Call Me Barabbas. Jesus took Barabbas' place on the cross. just as he took my place and your place on the cross. And now we see that not only could we have been Barabbas, but we could also be Judas. One of you, Jesus said, will betray Jesus. Is it I? Is it you? Probably true in both cases that you and I will betray Jesus at some point in our lives, already have or probably will. How do we betray him? Well, by sinning, by failing to follow his instructions, by failing to follow his calling for us, by doubting, by complaining about the current state of affairs. You see, it is I who betrays Jesus. It just happened at that moment in the upper room that Jesus was talking about Judas. But we know from other passages that each one of the remaining 11 would also betray Jesus in their own way, and so do we. Now we get to the part of the passage that I wanted to focus on here today, the Lord's Supper, verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, in this church and in this day and age, 2,000 years later, we are very accustomed to hearing those words. The little cracker that we pass around at the Lord's Supper time is symbolic of his body. And I think we mostly get that. But for these disciples, hearing it for the very first time, imagine what was going through their heads. They're sitting there with Jesus. He's whole. He's complete. What does he mean, "This is my body"? And then it becomes even more complicated. Verses 23 and 4. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Well, first of all, aren't you glad we don't do it that way anymore, everyone drinking from the same cup? But in both cases, the cup and the bread, Jesus, who is God, blesses and gives thanks to God for both elements. And even as he prepares to sacrifice his blood and his body, represented here by the bread and the wine, he gives thanks. In the midst of the incredible sacrifice that he's preparing to make, in the midst of the unimaginable suffering that he's going to go through, he gives thanks. We talk often about we should be more like Jesus, and I just wonder, how many of us have given thanks in the midst of the sacrifices and the suffering that we go through? What Jesus says in the next verse is amazing to me. He says, "It's a new covenant in my blood." And I want you to think about, just for a moment, about the old covenant. The old covenant was based, at least in part, on animal sacrifices. That's why a lamb's blood was shed for the original Passover. It's why one of the dominant features in the tabernacle and then later the temple was an altar built specifically for the sacrifices of animals. Again, aren't you grateful we don't do things like that anymore? The biggest problem that I see with sacrifices of animals to atone for sin is that there's never an end to it. One of the things that I always ask you to do when we partake of the Lord's Supper is to examine our hearts, as it's prescribed in 1 Corinthians 11. And I usually say we need to confess our sins, we need to ask for forgiveness and for cleansing and for God to prepare us to take the Lord's Supper. And I'm not sure that we always understand the importance and the simplicity of that. Because if we were still under the old covenant, every time we sinned, we'd have to go find another unblemished animal and sacrifice it, go through the ritual of doing all of that to atone for our sins. Regarding the people of the old covenant, They were no more or no less guilty than we are of sinning. But I do think we're guilty of taking for granted what Jesus did for us, what he did on the cross for us to atone for our sin. He died once for all. No longer do we have to find some unblemished animal to sacrifice. Jesus said that his blood would be shed for many. And he also said in John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when he said that his blood would be shed for many, the many is whoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. Sometimes I think when we look at this passage, verse 25 may be overlooked. So I want to read it to you again. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." He's saying that this is the end of life here on earth for him. I will no longer drink from the fruit of the vine. But he also says this, I will drink it new in the kingdom of God. From our study that we were doing on Wednesday nights before, we heard Chip Ingram say that in heaven we will eat and we will drink. Jesus gives pretty good indication of that here. He will drink of the fruit of the vine anew in the kingdom of God. But another thing I think we see from this, before the crucifixion took place, the impending death of Jesus is not the end. He will live again in the kingdom of God. And because he lives, well, the song says we can face tomorrow. And I pray that you can take comfort in these troubled times knowing that Jesus is alive and that he continues to live and will greet us when we get to heaven if you know him as Lord and Savior. I'm going to post a video of the song, Were You There? Not the one that we were going to do necessarily, but just because it was the song that as soon as I heard it, when we were preparing for the choir, I wanted it to be a song that we sang on Good Friday. And I encourage you, once this message is over and you've listened to it, that you listen to Were You There? Either the one I post or some version maybe that comes from somebody else that you like, whatever. But I want you to really reflect on this. Were you there when they hung him on the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? And I know that when we take it literally, we weren't really there. But yeah, we were. We were on his mind. We were in his heart. And we were there with Jesus as he suffered and died on the cross and as he rose up from the grave. And I pray that as we go through this Easter season in a way that we've never gone through it before, that we can take great comfort in knowing that we were there with him then. And if you know him as your Lord and Savior, you'll be with him again. Let's pray. Father, just thank you again for the time that you've given us together and for this wonderful promise that you've given us, that we will be there with you. And Lord, that we will drink anew of the fruit of the vine there in the kingdom of God with you. Lord, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made for us, and I pray that we never take it for granted. We've taken so many things for granted that we've seen here just in recent weeks that aren't always promised to us. And I just thank you, Lord, for your love for us that shines out so brightly during this season, even if we're not able to gather together. I pray that you bless those who aren't able to be here with us, but I pray that through the message that we are able to record and share with them in that way, that they might be blessed throughout this time, Lord, and just bring us back together again soon, I pray. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.